Welcome back again. Today it's, well, now in fact, maybe today, it's launchers and choosers.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. Okay, so launchers and choosers is the way that you can access phone functionality from your application. So you can invoke some of the built-in apps and get access to things like the contact, send SMS, make a phone call, take a picture, these kind of things, which are essentially all of those things are built-in functionality in the phone, in the sense that the user can access it through, you know, through the normal applications.
This is basically that links your application to the things you might want your phone to to do under program control. So if your app needs to make a phone call, this is how you'll get your app to place that call.
That's right. And as the slide says, this is kind of a different way of doing things from perhaps with previous mobile frameworks, and that we can't get sort of direct access to the contacts list. So you can only do it through this very controlled API, through a particular class that encapsulates access to that particular bit of the phone, like the contacts. So you're not allowed to directly access it, and nor can you actually sort of do a program.start of actually start the camera up, you know, with a bit of a line of code directly in your application. But you can start the camera application and get a picture back from it by using the photo launcher. So this is the way, indirect access to this kind of functionality. The key thing to understand about this is, as with any other applications on the phone, third-party applications, the phone does not allow multiple apps to run at the same time. So, and this is to maintain good performance for users. So when you do actually launch one of these built-in applications through a launcher or chooser, your app will be tombstoned while the app goes away. Now, if you haven't watched the tombstoning video in this series, you need to do so now. So do that and then come back later, and I won't be angry.
There is one thing to bear in mind, though. I think it is the case that some of the launchers and choosers don't actually tombstone your app, probably.
Well, let me qualify that. Yeah, this is the point I was coming to. Yes, if you saw the tombstoning app, I would say, well, any time you switch, the user switches to another application, your app is killed, it's terminated, it's always tombstoned. And this is where we say, apart from
when it
with certain launchers and choosers, and I'm going to come on to that in some detail because it's the one exception to the rule.
I mean, they like to throw your app out to make room, but they'd rather not, because then bringing it back takes
a tile schedule, which says
and will try and kind of leave your app in memory, but it's best if you act as if you're being deactivated and put away, because that's a worst case that you can always deal with.
We'll come to that in detail.
Indeed, we'll. Yeah.
Yes. All right,
ahead of myself again,
so you are getting ahead of yourself. Yeah.
I apologize.
Two distinct categories of these launchers, which basically is something. Well, there's not great difference between these two. You are invoking a built-in app. You are starting in one of these built-in functionalities. So the only difference really is that a launcher doesn't return anything. So you're simply giving access to the search or whatever from your application. Or off to the marketplace, for example.
So you'd call a launcher with no expectation of the thing coming back to you, is that correct?
Well, control will return, potentially. I mean, if you go into marketplace and then they hit the back button, obviously control will return to your application. So you're kind of embedding
a
thing like
the
marketplace. You're handing
off to a different application.
But you won't actually get any data back from it. So that's the difference. A launcher, you don't get any data back from it, whereas a chooser, you're expecting to get something back. So it will be like the camera. You want them to take a picture, you will actually get the photo stream back in.
Yeah.
Or choosing a contact, you will actually get some details of the contact back in. So that's the only difference. So this is a brief list of them as they stand at the moment. Launchers, you can write an email. Various ones about going into the marketplace, going to the hub, or into the search. So typically, you know, on your about page of your application, you want to have some links for the users. If they love this app so much, clearly you would like to lead them to other ones that you've written. So you might put some links into invoking the marketplace search task to go into and find and actually lead them to your other apps in the marketplace. There's a media player launcher, so you can play some music or videos. The phone call task to make a phone call. Search invokes the Bing search engine. SMS to send an SMS, and web browser to start the built-in browser. So those are just the launches. You don't get any data back from that. The choosers, the camera, you're finding out an email address and going into the contacts, getting phone numbers. You can go and look through the photos, go and get a photo that's in the media library. And then there's also a task where you allow people to... So you can't create a contact through your app, but you can save an email and save a phone number, which does get into the contacts application.
The whole basis of the way these works, again, based in terms of history, in the old days, it was like the Wild West. You could make the phone do anything under program control straight away.
Yeah.
But they've kind of stepped back from that because in terms of user...
These HTTP requests over...
...your phone doing weird things without being asked. They now involve the user in taking pictures, placing calls, finding contact details so that nothing weird and underhand can happen in the program without the user being involved.
Yep. So here's a simple example of the launchers, and they are trivial to use. They're all something task. So here's an example with the email compose task. You can just set, it's got various properties on it, the usual kind of things. 2cc, a subject and a body. And then the common theme with all of these is once you've set the object up, you'll then call the show method on it, which invokes it, and your app at that point gets tombstoned. And there's the marketplace search task I was mentioning. So you can put some search terms in there, and it will go and do a search through marketplace and return a list. We'll give them a list that they can browse of anything that matches those terms. And again, show just to invoke that task and present the UI, the built-in UI to the user. Now, choosers, because they return data to your application, there are some actually fairly strict rules about how you program these things. So first of all, you must actually declare as a field in your in the page class, you must declare a variable for that particular task, like the camera task. And then in the constructor, you actually initialize that variable, create a new instance of the particular the task that you're wanting to use. And also in the constructor, that's where you would assign a delegate so you'd hook up the event handler for the completed events.
Come back, yeah.
Yep. And then obviously you implement the event handler logic for the completed events, either somewhere in that page. And then at the appropriate moment when they press a button or whatever, this task object that you have initialized back in the constructor, you just call it show method at the appropriate point in your logic.
Yeah, and you can also, the similar technique works in an XNA game. Should you actually want to pull up a picture or a contact in the middle of an XNA game, the process, the layout's the same. It's a bit different. You wake up in an XNA game rather than a page in a Silverlight app. Mm-hmm. But the fundamentals that Andy's talking about are all just the same. If you want to fire up choosers in XNA, just the same way to do it.
So here's a simple example, the photo chooser task. So we're going off to allow the users to browse through the photo library on their phone, and you want to actually get the stream of the picture that they have chosen back into your application for some reason. You can use it as an avatar or who knows, whatever your application wants to do with that photo. So like I said, just reading down from the top, obviously we've got the class declaration, the top line. And then the next line, we're declaring the photo chooser task as a field in the class. It's got to have field scope. And then below that, under that comment line, we've got the constructor, the usual initialized component. And then in the constructor, you must initialize that class field and then and assign and hook the completed event. So that must happen in the constructor. Down at the bottom, we've got the actual implementation of the completed event handler. So that you always get you'll get the usual sender object, and the second parameter, the args, will be will always have a task result property on it. So if the user has cancelled the task, because obviously they might, they might,
you don't know,
choose,
you have no idea what they've done. They might have cancelled, they might not.
So you'll either get task result.ok or you get task result.cancel, depending on what the user actually did when they were off using the particular task, and then do whatever you want in the event handler. And then at some point, which is in the middle there, obviously button one click to actually invoke this functionality and get the task, the UI for that particular task, in this case, the photo chooser, to come up, you just call the show method on it. So that's the fundamentals of programming a chooser. And here's a separate example, which does exactly the same thing, but this time this is how you would use the camera. So you invoke the built-in camera and get them to take a picture. I'm not going to walk through it because it's exactly the same pattern. So in the completed, check the OK. If it's OK, do something with the chosen photo stream. So Same as the previous one, really. Now, this is what we were talking about in the middle, and this is very important for launchers and choosers. So when you launch a launcher and chooser, your app is, well, essentially it is tombstoned, okay? It is definitely deactivated, always, and the unnavigated from event will fire in the page as normal, and the application deactivated event will fire in your app class just the same as normal. And at this point, with normal tombstoning, so if the user has pressed the Windows the Start button and gone off to run a different program, under normal circumstances, your app would definitely be killed at this point. However, with the chooser, some of them, your app may be kept alive, in actual fact. So it will be kept in memory while the user is off doing this particular task. So this is the one exception to the general rule. So while, for example, they're off taking a picture with the camera capture task, your app is kept alive, although it's kind of suspended, because it has all gone through all the normal deactivation process, and the relevant events have fired. So then when the camera capture task is completed, control passes back to your application, but unlike normal tombstoning, where actually it would create a whole new instance of your application class and the particular page class you were on, and then like I stressed before, you need to see this tombstoning one. You have the unnavigated to event fires. All that normally happens, but the difference may be that if they've just gone off and just done the camera capture and come back, the constructors on your app class and your page class will not fire because those objects were never deleted. But everything else with tombstoning does happen as normal. So you get the normal events will be fired associated with an activation. So you'll get the application activated event fires in your app class, and in the particular page, the page that you just invoked the camera capture task from, you will get the unnavigated to event will fire. Now,
I think from a developer's point of view, the key thing here is that activated and deactivated are your best friends in town, because they're guaranteed to happen. Whereas the other ones, your constructor may get called, may not get called. So if you want to know a place where you're going to get control when you're being brought back from the dead, or the half-dead, dead-ish, then you're going to go for the activated and deactivated, because you know those are going to run, and that's where you should put all the logic that puts the thing back on its feet and sorts it out.
That's true. The one thing to remember about the page logic as well, though, is that the order that things fire when, like, the photo chooser or the camera capture comes back is that you will get the application activated event fires in your app class. Normally, okay, you won't get the page constructor unless it's been tombstoned, and in a minute I'll tell you when it will be tombstoned, but you should not assume that it has been tombstoned, basically. So the constructor probably won't fire, but you will then, and this is important, the event handler for your chooser is the next thing that executes. So your completed event will be the next thing that executes, and only after that will the page unnavigated to, the normal unnavigated to that's associated with a page reactivation, is firing. So the key thing to remember here is that when you're putting your logic in your completed event handler, is A, don't assume that the constructor has, assume of any logic has run in the constructor, because it probably hasn't. And also, don't in your event handler rely on anything that might have been extracted from the state object, because that hasn't happened yet. The unnavigated to event has not actually executed until afterwards. There's going to be quite a few people are going to trip over this and get some weird, there'll be weird results in the forums. We'll undoubtedly cover this a number of times.
Because you can't be sure when you get told the event has completed that the page you're about to try and put things in as a result of that event is actually as it should be, correct?
Well, I think they're all in this. It's not that they're happening asynchronously, so they're all happening on the UI thread, but this is the order. So the chooser delegate, the completed event handler, will definitely run through to completion, and only after that will the page on navigated to event handler execute. So, and also, and as it says on the slide, in the unnavigated two, that's usually where you do things like if state contains key things, so, and you're pulling stuff out. You're kind of, this is where you're reactivating your page logic that after the tombstoning event.
So your choose a return should really set some intermediate properties inside the page that then your navigated back to thing picks up and uses to make it work. And if you do it that way, you're pretty much fireproof.
That's exactly how I would do it. So put some fields in your class, and anything that you want to process as a result of the completed event, the task you've just invoked, stick some values into a field in the class, which obviously the class page exists, and then look for those values in your unnavigated to or later.
Because that's guaranteed to happen when everything else has been built.
Indeed, yeah.
Lovely.
I said I would mention, okay, when will it not be tombstone? When will it not be tombstone, and when will it be tombstone? That's really quite easy to explain, really. If you just invoke the camera capture task and that's all they do, they take a picture, they accept it and come back, then your app will not be tombstoned. If, however, your app starts the camera capture task, the camera comes up and at that point they decide to press the start button and actually go and check their calendar and then go into, go and check their email and that sort of thing. And then, having done those two things, they then hit the back key, and then they hit the back key, and they'll get back, and then it will bring them back to the photo screen. And then they say, oh, yeah, I was taking a picture, wasn't I? Yeah. So then they take the picture, say OK, and then the camera capture task will be invoked. And it will come back to your application, as you would expect. But while it was off doing all this other stuff, while they were running up other tasks, then your app will have been tombstoned and will have been terminated in the normal sense of it.
So the first start they press in the camera capture test, that's curtains for your app, isn't it,
pretty much? Yeah, that's right. Yes, right, yeah. So, I mean, that sounds complicated, but the golden rule really is just don't assume that your app has been terminated and don't assume that your constructor has run. This is the key.
When I'm writing software, I have this saying, which is that every time you make an assumption, a specification fairy dies. So don't.
Specification fairies will die.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So don't assume. You know, there's a few things we can be absolute about.
Yep.
Just pin your code to those and make sure that they work in that context.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't want to stress this, but this is actually a sequence diagram which shows you exactly the life cycle that's going on. So this is what happens when your app is tombstoned. So what we're seeing here is the application, your app class is the blue line on the left, this is its lifetime. Then there's the page object, and then there's the lifetime of the photo chooser task object on the right-hand side there. So we read down in time from the top. So the first thing that happens is the application constructor, then you'll get the application launching event handler, and then you'll get the page constructor, so it'll build the page. And then in your page constructor, you're going to initialize your photo chooser task object. And after that, the on-navigated to event handler fires, so this is all normal stuff. And then at some point later on in the application logic, you know, because they've pressed a button or something, we call the show event on that photo chooser task. So at that point, the application deactivates, so we get the on-navigated from event handler in the page executes, you get the deactivated event in the application executes, and at that point the application is tombstoned. And the user then this is the scenario where they've taken a photo but then they get distracted and go and do some other stuff. So your application is completely terminated. And then when we eventually come back from all of this, they've hit the back key and they've taken the picture and control has passed back to your application, then it's kind of a normal tombstoning reactivation. So you get the application constructor, the application activated event handler, and then in the page you get the page constructor will execute, and then you get the on-navigated to and completed will execute.
But as Andy says, if you're not quite familiar with this, go look at the tombstoning talk.
Indeed.
It's a rave from the grave,
yep.
Most definitely.
This one is the same, apart from the fact this is where they've just done the chooser and come straight back to it. So you can see the event handlers that all execute in there, but what's missing is the execution of the constructors on the application object and page object after we've come back from the chooser task. So I hope that's made that clear. I'm now going to just do a very, very quick demo just to show you how that all works. There we go. So we've got a very, very simple application here. It's got a main page that looks like this, with some just some buttons on it, so you can go off and invoke different pages. These just navigate to certain pages. So to invoke a we're going to do a launcher here, which doesn't return any data. Couldn't be simpler. So this is a search one. So the actual page for this has a search term you can put in there, and then they click the button. So in order to actually get that to work, we just simply create an instance of the search task.
Do we do that in the button in the handler or in the constructor?
No, it doesn't matter. Doesn't
matter.
Will
work, will it?
With launchers, it's just.
Oh, you don't care because there's nothing to come back to.
We're not getting anything back, so we don't care.
We don't care.
No.
Okay, that's fine. So but if you want to get something back, you have to in a chooser.
Yeah,
it has
indeed.
To be in the class. Yeah.
So that text box has, and we get the text field out of there, and then we simply show the thing. Search task dot show. And that's as complicated as it gets. So that is all you need to invoke a launcher. I won't run it. Well, let's run it now. Okay, let's run it now.
You must run it. We must see it work.
Indeed, let's prove that. It's so trivial, I wasn't even going to run it. But
Oh, no, you run the trivial ones. It's the hard ones you run away from.
What should we search for? How about Rob? Let's search for Rob Miles.
Let's not do that. Well, go on then, okay.
It'll bring up Rob Miles' fish and chip shop in Scunthorpe.
They're doing very well, actually.
Yeah.
Better than I am.
This is the emulator, so you'll see this allow search to access and use your location.
Very first time.
This is the very first time. It's the normal privacy stuff, so we'll say yes, we'll allow that.
And we're searching for Rob Miles. He's sat here.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, it's found my blog. Wonderful. And I'm in
Wikipedia.
One of my students put me in Wikipedia.
My hero.
It's good, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah. Rob Miles, Canada.
No, that's not me.
Okay.
That's an interloper.
That's a different Rob Miles.
And
then when the user goes back, and control will pass back to the application, and we're back at the page we're at. So easy peasy. Let's do something slightly more complicated. We're going to use the contact one, the phone number. So the idea with this one, we get a page up. We don't get any page up at all. We'll get a page up in a minute that links to that page, and you can search the. There must be a bit of logic missing in the.
I think there's some
code
glue
behind
required.
Here. Yeah.
Need to add glue. When in doubt, add glue. Yeah.
There we go. Commented out. So. That's why it didn't work, Rob.
If it's green, it won't be seen. There's a little comment saying there for everybody.
So, now then, this page, which we'll just show you the designer on it, the idea is, actually, it has a single button on it to send an SMS. So this is a fairly contrived example. But what actually you'll do when they press the button is it'll go off into the contact list on the phone. You'll be able to pick a contact. It will pull their phone number out, and then you can send them an SMS message.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's get back to the logic. So this is going to return data to us, so you must declare it as a field in the task. So we're going to get the phone number chooser task.
Which is a task that chooses phone numbers, I would expect.
Could be.
At risk of giving away too much.
Yeah. And then we must initialize this in the constructor. It's equal to a new phone number, chooser
task.
You'd
never ever want to have more than one of these, would you, in a system?
In an app.
You only ever make the one, wouldn't you?
Well, it doesn't matter in the sense that these are just simply objects to invoke the thing. So, phone number chooser, and we must hook up our event handler in here as well. Completed plus equals. I'll just allow it to create one down here, which we haven't implemented as yet. And then when they hit that button, what we want to do is invoke the chooser phone number chooser task dot show. So what happens in the event handler then? So when we get back, if they've actually selected a user, if e dot result task result is equal to task result dot OK. So you've got OK cancel. I'm not quite sure what none is. It just doesn't know. So you can choose that, treat that as a failure.
Only ever look for OK, folks, because that works best. I mean, I'm thinking, what's going to happen on the emulator here? Is it going to, because there's no phone book on the thing to start with.
There is now. That was true in the beta, yes, actually, and I have to admit, he says with confidence, there is now, says Andy.
Okay.
I discovered this precisely 15 minutes ago. So I was thinking, oh, I better put some contacts in here, but actually, yes, they have very kindly...
Has it got Bill Gates' phone number in there?
No.
That would be cute.
No.
Scary, but cute.
But yeah, it's...
It works. I thought quite useful. Yeah. Nice.
So, in actual fact, what we're going to do in here is use a launcher, the SMS Compose task thing. So we're going to actually use another one. Two in one go here.
So we'll take the phone number and try and text it.
Yeah, that's right. I don't quite know what happened. They've put some contacts in, but I'm not sure.
That could end really badly, couldn't it?
I'm not sure they've actually implemented the SMS. I think it will just disappear into the ether. So
you might get an enormous bill in 3 weeks.
Yes, probably, yes. So let's set the body to something. What should we send to the message here,
the word
Rob?
Tombstone.
Tombstone. We'll go. That will confuse the recipient.
Yeah, I'll put the word tombstone in a body. That sounds
tombstone
strange.
In a body.
that's all kind of mixed metaphors. Yes.
And we need to send it to somebody. So we want to use the number that we just got back.
Yeah. So we'll get that out of the
which will
object.
Be e.phone number. There we go. So you got a nice response there, and then we'll just show it.
Sure.
So dot show.
And if they don't pick a number, this just won't happen. Yeah, because...
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
And you could put some logic on there saying, well, you've got to choose something. If the test result came back as cancel, then it's application specific. Yep. But for our purposes, that will just do fine. So here we go. Use contact's phone number. So when I hit this button, we're going to invoke the phone number chooser task. So it goes off to the built-in application.
Oh, wow.
A few random people.
Rowan Kang, gotta be. Don't know who he is, but he's got a great name.
Right, Rowan Kang. And we get the SMS task has been invoked, and the body that we've supplied has been supplied as the default. So let's add an exclamation mark onto that.
So it won't actually send that text. It'll give the user the option to change the text before it's sent.
Indeed. It invokes the built-in SMS application.
So this is part of the protecting the user from programs sending nasty things without them being asked. Yeah.
And then we send it.
And it's gone.
And, of course, this is the normal UI for the SMS application on the phone, which is exactly where we are.
I'm thinking it would be very scary if he now replied.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
Hello from the grave. Yeah, okay. But that's really easy to use. That's nice.
And then back, and we're back into our page. So there we go.
Okay.
Right, so... Okay, so back to just slides. There is obviously a lab that takes you through all of these in the training kit, so I advise you to go off and run through that. It goes through a couple of the examples that I've just shown you and a good few more, so you get plenty of practice on programming the launchers and the choosers. Just before we leave kind of interacting with the phone, there's one sort of side topic that's kind of related. It's not actually launchers and choosers. There is also the ability for your applications to extend some of the built-in hubs. So, and the only two that we've got at the moment, you can actually have an integrated experience for your users. And by that I mean, if you write an app that does stuff with music, obviously your users can find it by hitting the Windows button and on the normal list of programs, as you would expect. But also in the inside the Zoom music player, there is a menu in there's some hooks in there that allows you to tag your application onto the kind of built-in menus that are offered within that. So you're extending the particular hub. So you can have photo edition apps and music edition apps.
So if you write your image processing program and you want it to sort of appear in the photo context, this is how you would tag it to say, this is how you can process images.
Yeah, that's right. So here's just to walk through the process, I'm not going to give you a demo of this, just so you're aware of the process. So you just need to, in order to enable this kind of thing, you need to include a particular XML file called extras.xml in your solution. This is an example of the photos extra, and there's a music extras one as well. So you just say whether it's enabled, and there's some tags that mean something to the way that the application is going to work, which I'll come to in a minute. And as you can see there in the middle is some phone screens for the photo hub. And you can see that in the pop-up menu there's this extras dot 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 option at the bottom. And this is where your photo extra app would appear in here, along with any others that the user happens to have installed. In the on-navigated to, you will get a query string, essentially. It will come in with a query string, which will pass in the information that your app will need to use in order to integrate with the hub. So in this example, you get the file name of a photo append incoming folder that you know where you can find. So what the point of this is, the user has selected a photo, and then you're going to do some processing on it in your application. So obviously you need to know which photo they've selected. And the way you do that is it passes the relevant information in this query string. So that allows your app to go and find the current focused item and act upon it.
That's cute, because that means that you're tied right into the way pictures work from the very start. Yeah,
that's right. And the code at the bottom is just an example of the sort of thing you might want to do. So that was very briefly on the extensibility of the hubs. I'm just going to a quick review on on this topic of launchers and choosers. So four questions here, the usual thing. These are either true or false, and I will run through these. So the first one, launchers and choosers allow apps to access phone features. And
I'm thinking green.
That is, of course, what they are about. Next one, apps are always tombstoned when invoking a chooser.
Ooh. Could be grey, that one. Could be, yeah. If we're being honest about it, it has to be red, because they aren't always.
No, that's right. They're deactivated, but they're not tombstone necessarily, which is a subtle distinction. The app activated event does not fire when returning from a launcher and chooser.
That would be scary if it was true.
Indeed, so that is most certainly false. That always activated. You always get an activation.
Activated is your best friend on this. It's the one you're guaranteed to get.
Yeah.
So you should sort of have everything on that.
Now the bottom one I've thrown in. Actually, I didn't mention this in the talk so far, but since this will again be one of the hot topics in the forums,
it's the thing that people fall over every other week.
If you're debugging a photo app and you're using a real phone, when you connect your real phone to your laptop, your PC, the Zoom software on the PC will start up, and it's required for debugging.
Yeah.
But because Zune is a media-related software kind of thing, it kind of takes over the music and video functionality and media-related things on your phone. So if you try and debug a app that uses the camera capture task, it doesn't work. It always comes back cancel. And you'll be going, as I was a few weeks ago, God, what's wrong with this?
I saw him, yes. It's on YouTube,
in
fact.
Honest.
Yes.
Look at this
video
code.
There, yes.
Am I going mad?
It's the same playing music. I had the same thing when I was getting album art. Same thing. Anything which tries to use anything media-ish, if you're going through Zune, it ain't going to work.
No.
Now, there is a little pass-through program you can get,
yes,
which is mentioned in our session on XNA.
It's the WPDTPT.
Windows Phone Desktop Pass-Through Program.
Connect.exe, the utility which allows Visual Studio to connect to the phone while Zune is not running.
Yeah, dig those out, because that provides a path which doesn't involve the Zune program running at all, and that's the point at which you can debug your apps. Now, it's whether that will eventually recede into the distance as Zune takes over the world, we're not sure. But for now, just bear in mind that if you get this weird behavior, it's not your fault. It's something else.
Nothing is your fault. No. So that's it, launchers and choosers. Thanks very much for watching.
Thank you.